This is the Waste Diversion Collection and Education Subcommittee of Environmental Services Advisory Committee. It's Wednesday, June the 1st, and it's 4 minutes after 3, and I'm calling the meeting to order. Roll call, Margot Garcia.
And Chris Yarder, present.
Chris Yarder, present. So that is a quorum. We are awaiting Yolanda to join us. And I guess no new person decided to join us, Chris. No, none of the new people have asked to be on this committee yet.
No, but I got an email from boards and commissions that Susanna did her oath. So she's good to go for full ESAC.
Wonderful. Excellent.
So now we have eight.
We
just have to wait for Trevor to do his oath. And then we'll have 9. Yay.
After long work and hard work. Okay. Next on the line is the approval of the minutes for May 4th. They're really nice minutes. I was just going over them. I didn't see anything that needed to be changed. Are you okay with them?
You know what? There's just a period that's okay. Snuck in a sentence. So... that's on page 2 under number 5, collections, and it's part of that paragraph, other projects that are underway. And if you go to the third line, it's after the and. After the and before the construction.
So there's an extra period. All right.
That's it.
That's easy to take care of. All right. Without objection, the minutes are approved. All right. Chairperson's report. I don't have anything today. On to the next. Ms. Waste Diversion. Christina.
Is that okay for us to call you that?
Well, I guess.
It's fine. Because I had a long talk with... Council Member Kozacek and was pointing out how you were doing 4 jobs and that it didn't seem very fair. But anyway, since you had to do waste diversion along with everything else.
Well, yeah.
Yep.
But I do what I can do, and that's all I can, you know, Pat knows.
Yeah, you guys are all shorthanded.
Yeah.
So it looks like I'm going to share my screen.
So the one little thing I noticed was payments that March shows up twice. So that right where you're, it's my arrow.
Oh, yeah.
It shows March 22nd, March 22nd, and it needs to be April.
Right.
So just a little typo. So I spent some time studying this because I was mystified as to why we paid more when we collected only slightly more and the amendments, the differential was less.
It all has to go into the ACR. So if the tons all seem to go up a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think what we saw, if you look at aluminum, it dropped.
Yeah.
And that actually, I mean, that's not that big a deal because we don't get that much. But
I mean, I was looking over at the revenue from sales, which is a way of equivalating the tonnage as along with the price. Right. So what is the difference? So we can see that paper dropped slightly, but ON came higher, aluminum dropped a fair amount, about $6,000. So, you know, if you look through those numbers, 4,000 down for the natural, 4,000 up for the natural bottles, that price per ton went up a fair amount. So, it's a little bit here one way and a little bit there that way. So, it's only a difference of $2,000 at the end.
Right.
But somehow we ended up paying $4,000 more, which is what bothered me. Actually, $4,400 more. I don't know that there's a mistake in the tables. It obviously just goes to the fact that there needs to be some adjustments.
Right. And, you know, we have several issues that we want to address with Republic. And, you know, I mean, Pat and Carlos and I need to keep working on that because we need to get an amendment done by July 1. So,
yeah, I thought you had a meeting during our last month. Did it not happen? Or
we've had an internal meeting. I don't.
Okay.
Pat could speak to whether or not there's been any meetings with Republic. I think it's just been a little slow because, you know, people have been out of the office and there's just been, you know, kind of hard to.
So there has been no meeting together. Yeah, sorry, Christina. Yeah, I was trying to log on over here and get the mute button to work. But there has been no meeting of the Republics. We are finalizing the agreement that we want to send to them for the next 5 years. Hopefully we'll have that done and completed within the next week to get that to them so that the current agreement we have goes until the end of this month. So we have to have some kind of a resolution by the end of this month. But so, Barbara, you've raised some good points on this. And our problem is that at $4,000, it's all revenue. When you look at that, I mean, it's a shame that we don't get any part of that or even 50% of it. And that's why we're renegotiating this agreement because, you know, they basically are getting $300,000 plus an additional $30,000 from us to run their operation on a monthly rate. And we're not seeing any benefit on it.
Yeah, I mean, they're getting the tip fee is essentially $100,000 a month, which is $1.2 million a year. So they get that, you know, plus what you pay them, plus what, you know, anyway, the sales. So so you've got what your preferred contract is pretty well settled, what you're going to ask for?
I think we do. I think we have, it's up to the attorneys kind of trying to review it, make sure, and on procurement, and make sure we got everything covered.
Are they aware of the time deadline?
They are.
So when do you have your meeting scheduled with Republic?
We don't have the meeting with them until we send them the information and give them a couple of days. So usually when we send it to them, we say, okay, let's schedule a meeting in 3 days and give them a couple of days to digest a little bit. And then they can, because we know they're going to send it back to us.
Of course. That's why I'm worried about the fact that it's June the 1st and you have 30 days, except you don't have 30 days because there's the weekends that are off.
Yep. We're as nervous as you are.
It just seems to me it's a real problem that it's getting awfully tight. Hi, Yolanda. Welcome.
I agree with you.
Hello.
So I don't know. It seems to me you need to kick butt with the attorneys and the procurement, you know.
Yeah, we're actually hoping to have that to them by Friday. This Friday is our goal.
Oh, so yours, your draft going to procurement and the attorneys by Friday?
No, it's already over there.
So you're expecting it back from them by Friday?
Yes.
And then, I mean, they may not like it too. I mean, you may have some.
I don't think so. I think they'll be fine with it.
Okay, so then you would send it Monday to Republic.
Hopefully, yep, as soon as we can. If we can Friday afternoon, I'll send it Friday afternoon.
Okay.
Are your attorneys in with the city attorney's office or
yes.
Do you have outside ones? Okay.
No, they're in-house.
Yeah, okay.
So you hope the draft comes on Friday and then send to Republic. So you could be you could be scheduling meeting with Republic before the full ESAC on the 9th.
Fingers crossed.
You give them 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Well, that's Thursday. You could meet with them earliest, I guess, Thursday or Friday.
Thursday or Friday.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to ask you about it. No, I mean, I just really feel that it's so easy to let things like this go.
No, I understand.
You know, day by day. I mean,
well, you get caught up on so many other things that it's like,
exactly. Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I understand that completely. You got a truck breakdown and you got, you know, 60 phone calls in because their route didn't get picked up. And, you know,
or homeless camps that need to get cleaned up.
Yep, our homeless camps didn't get cleaned up, but this is a pretty high priority.
Yeah.
So, and it's, the thing is, it's been dragging on. So it's, that's a part of the problem. Okay. So it's the things going into the contract we've talked about before. We don't want to make it public, so we're not going to say anything on what you're going to be asking for, because obviously then you have to negotiate for, that'll give you two weeks to negotiate, and then whatever comes back from them, we'll have to go to the attorneys again to check it out.
What I will share with you is that it's really close to what we originally had in the original agreement.
Mm-hmm.
We are really trying to revert back to what we originally had when we first started the contract. Mm-hmm.
With Eco Community.
Right.
All righty. So what happens if it doesn't get resolved by the 1st of July?
It goes, no. Doesn't, don't, aren't we saying it's going to go back to the original agreement?
Yes. So if it doesn't, then it reverts back, that because that contract expires, so you fall back to the original agreement.
Which is way better for us.
Yeah, yeah, that's why I'm kind of like, okay, well, you know. But we got to give them the opportunity to respond.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you have to play fair. You don't want to be. Well, it'll be,
we're making plenty of money.
So, they're making plenty of money.
Yeah. Plenty of money.
No.
Okay. Questions. Yolanda or Kristen, any questions?
No.
All righty. Well. Here's hoping things go well. Collections, what's happening? Los Reales landfill update. I noticed that there's been some comments in the press about the landfill.
Yeah, I didn't, there was, Christina, are you done? That was all you had?
That was on the waste diversion. We haven't gotten to outreach.
Oh, okay. Let me pull up my agenda here. Los Reales landfill update. We are actually working with SES. We met with them last week and finalizing the plan to build cell 4B. So we're working on the drawing, on the design of the access roads and where all the tie-ins are going to be for the new pond, because we're going to do away with the pond, not the new pond, but we're going to eliminate the pond, and then to make sure we all have the stormwater runoffs all headed in the same direction. So they're finalizing that. We met last Thursday to go over all those plans, and SES should be getting back to us hopefully in the next couple of weeks with some drawings that we can start submitting. It looks like the current plans that we have now, we're not making any changes that we have to go to permit, which is good.
Okay.
So that's where we're at on the landfill. We're still continuing all the other, as far as purchasing the properties, setting up for a sustainable campus. They're still meeting on that. Carlos could probably give you guys a better update on that at the full ESAC.
Okay.
Routing update. We actually have rerouted all our residential routes on Mondays. We had met with the union. The biggest thing is they wanted to have a balance on the routes. They were upset. Some of the routes were, you know, 1,500 households. Other ones were at 600 households. And it was hard to measure which drivers were doing what. We haven't balanced these in a long time. So it made sense to go ahead and do that. So we came up with an average of about 950 households roughly per route to do a balance. And we're going to test those out, try them out, and they're going to begin on June 13th will be the first day that we try Monday. If that works out, then we're going to go ahead and do the rest of the week, Tuesday through Friday.
Okay, and the big issue was the adding in the travel time to both the MRF and the landfill?
Yes. Yep, travel time, and then just inconsistency on the routes. I mean, one route was taking 10 hours, the other route was taking 6 hours. So the guy doing 6 hours always had to go help the one that had the larger route. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, some guys might go a little slower if they have the smaller routes. So it was easier to say, let's just balance it all out. It's easier to measure each driver. And the union was okay with that. They said, you know what, we don't mind holding operators accountable mm-hmm. as long as there's a balance on the routes.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Go ahead,
you. Did that change a week ago Monday?
The 13th of June.
Oh, it hasn't happened yet.
No, it's in 2 weeks.
Oh, because my whole neighborhood was freaking out, not the Monday of this week, but the Monday before. They came like at 7. And for as long as I've ever lived here, it's always been closer to noon or later.
Right.
And so what I did was I didn't get the trash can out in time, but I noticed that they hadn't picked it up across the street from me. So I rolled my trash can across the street. So.
Oh, that could have been a lot of times okay? That happens when you have a substitute driver that comes in and just runs the route differently. But we are letting everybody know for the 13th, the message is in the water bill, plus we're probably gonna do a robocall to let everybody know that your day isn't changing, but your pickup time may change. So it'd be good to just let everybody know, just have it out by 6 a.m., you know, to assure your pickup day for that until it gets back to the routine. Because we know everyone gets used to the routine, you know, they're here every week right about 1 o'clock or after 12 o'clock. I mean, that and then the only time that would change is sometimes when you have a substitute driver or they send an extra truck up to help. But
yeah,
normally it's pretty consistent.
Yeah, I got caught a couple of times in those changes where I was convinced I had been missed and called it in and they just said, well, wasn't out by 6 when we came by. Well, you're right, because nobody ever showed up at that time.
That does happen. And we actually can look at Zonar because luckily our trucks are all on Zonar. So they'll look and see if the truck went down that road or not.
They normally tell you to put it out the day before.
Yep. That's what we do.
Yep. That's the same
thing. Yeah, but you know what? We have trouble with homeless people going through our trash cans when we put them out to curb. So actually, it was a real mess when people's trash cans didn't get it out in time and they didn't get picked up and they don't pull it back in their yard. They just leave it out for another week and they all got rummaged through. So
yeah,
there was a lot of garbage blowing in the wind.
Yep. Well, there's never a right way or a wrong way, but I know the recommendation has always been to put it out the day before. I get up early and our drivers usually come around 7:15. So I get it ready, put it out by the gate and then get up early and then put it out. So that I'm not forgotten.
And it's been sometimes windy too.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, we have tons of trash from Brush Bulky, from people putting things out along Calle Santa Cruz. Because people just ended up dumping on that side street weeks before Brush Bulky picked up. And the amount of garbage left because of the winds is horrible, even though it wasn't
due to residents. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's ongoing issues constantly.
Okay, well, all right. Well, I'm interested to see how that works out and if the union likes what it asked for. So we'll be knowing that. Homeless camp protocol.
Before we go into that, I just want to thank, I know that this is unusual that normally ES comes and cleans up the homeless camp on Valencia Wash. Mm-hmm. And today it was Tucson Transportation that cleaned that area. So that kind of surprised me. So when you address this, Pat, can you also address why it's gone to transportation instead of environmental services?
Well, I don't think it's gone. I think it's always been. Transportation is supposed to be doing that, and we've kind of helped and support a lot of that cleanups that they've been unable to get to. So I couldn't answer. I don't know what Alfred is doing there as far as the cleanup goes, but I know we'll usually get a work order or something sent to us, and we'll send a crew out there to do the cleanup as much as possible. So I'm glad Alfred was able to send his group out there to do that, though. That's good. I'll let him know that. It's a good thing.
So have there been any changes to the protocol?
They're actually reviewing the homeless camp protocol right now, and because it is a big issue citywide, you know, as far as the homeless camp. So they're reviewing it. You know, housing needs to take it. Sarah is now working at City Hall, and they've kind of given her kind of the lead on this and working, and she's reaching out to all the departments that are involved, and you know they're going to kind of revamp this. There, it's in the works right now of how they could revamp and how we can improve the program, because it is a tough program. I know a lot of them, you know, they don't want to, you know, displace a lot of the homeless because there's some issues, but then in some areas they have to be, you know, and a lot of them don't want to accept help. Some do want to accept help, but it's not consistent, and you can't almost treat each homeless camp the same. The other thing is, you know, I understand some of these camps shouldn't be there. I could tell you, I've had to defuse a situation where there was a homeless person at a place, and we went in and took everything and threw it all away. And unfortunately, we threw away a lot of photographs that he had of his family, and that basically was all he had, you know. And he was crushed by that. You know, he takes that everywhere he goes. And so there is some, you know, sentimental items that are there, and I get it. It is tough. And we're trying to, how do you do it without upsetting both sides? And I don't have the answer to that. And it's a tough job Sarah's been handed to try to work this out. But one thing that we volunteered, and we had a meeting yesterday with Sarah, and said, you know, we're good at picking up. So any areas and that, give us a list of all the areas that you want us to clean up. You know, we're not the social workers. We don't do that. You know, they have to have a crew that's going to go out and do that place. But if they provide us a list, we're also submitted to get a lot more employees to be able to help us with that. We submitted in our supplemental for the budget additional 10 more employees that would be ESWs to help out in the budget bulky. Since we're not getting DOC workers anymore, we need more help at landfill for just the litter pickup. We've submitted for 8 more ESW employees out there. So we're trying to get more manpower behind us to be able to support the cleanups, and say, give us the list of locations. As long as they've gone through the protocol, the 72-hour notice, you know, make sure they have a place to go. We'll come in and do that. Also standing up a crew that is equipped to go in there and clean these, because you have to go in there and really do a site check and make sure you don't, you know, there's not a bunch of syringe needles, there's not a bunch of feces. You know, you find everything in these locations when you go out there to clean them up, and make sure our employees have the protective gear that they need to go in there and do that as well. As well as they're all have the right vaccinations, if they're gonna be a crew, you know, make sure they're all, you know, have the hepatitis shots and bloodborne pathogens. And so I think we need to get better if we are gonna go in there and we'll take this, let's prepare our crews as well. Cause we're pretty fortunate enough, we're not having to touch a lot of that when we do go in there. we tell the guys to pretty much try to do as much as they can with the skid steers, where they're just picking it up and putting it in the rear loader, and then all the other stuff that they have to rake and pull in that they can. But where there's those kind of debris that are unhealthy, that they use a skid steer only to pick up those items. So that's where we're at right now. I think they're going to schedule a lot more meetings that we'll be involved with, but they're going to be revamping this homeless camp protocol here.
What's Sarah's last name?
What is it, Landro?
Landro?
Yeah, let me look it up. I think I have it.
Sarah Lanius.
Lanius. Oh, okay, that's all right. That looks.
Can you say that again? L-A-N-O-I-S?
L-A-U-N-I, or L-A-N-I-U-S.
Thank you, Christina.
Yeah, I've seen that name. Okay.
Okay. She's been put to the city manager's office to help.
Yeah. She used to be in Ward 3.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's where I know her name because I've talked to her before. Okay.
Yeah, I was in, I think, Kevin's newsletter. Okay. All right. Well, it sounds like they're getting a little more serious about this and it isn't going to be quite so haphazard. I know there's been a lot of concern.
It's a challenge. It really is.
Oh, it is. And it's not just for us. I mean, I read the Bay Area Chronicle, the San Francisco Chronicle, and every issue practically has some story about the homeless and, you know, the growing camps. And one of the issues here, I just was reading our newsletter from our church, and the minister had a thing in there about how much money that she's given out of her ministerial fund to keep people in their homes, that they've had their rent go up 40% in the last year.
It's an ugly world right now.
When you're barely making ends meet already, that just is almost impossible.
So I sit on the SWANA board and I'm the region director for 5 states. So we get together and we talk, and all the states are having the same issues. Mm-hmm. I mean, just not here in Arizona. When I talk with Phoenix and everybody else, they're like, oh my gosh, it's just, but you know, everybody that's in Nevada, Utah, which is amazing, you know, even Utah, you know, and Colorado, New Mexico, it's everywhere. It's just amazing.
Well, when we talk about the homeless, the Sunnyside neighborhood is dealing with, you probably have either heard or read about the pallet villages.
Yeah.
They are proposing one in our area. It'd be Tucson's first, but it's going to be right close to El Pueblo Neighborhood Center, where we have a lot of children. We have the Laos Bus Center there. So we don't see this as a positive for our neighborhood. And we did reach out to Tucson Police Department. And they, again, because of the protocol that the city of Tucson is working on, can't do a lot. But I've asked how it's going to possibly impact our crime, when crime is already an issue, drug use at Laos Center. And I don't know if you all read the article where they're not going to prohibit alcohol use in these little villages.
Oh.
I don't know how they would be able to afford the security that they're proposing, because it's all via donation. When the news did a short story on it yesterday, they refused to give the location. And I think that's because a lot of the people on this side of town will oppose it. Let's put it in the foothills where it belongs. Just kidding.
We got to pick an HOA.
Yeah. Bus services up to there, you know. They just want to get on the buses and ride with no destination.
Yeah, that's not okay. Yeah.
That's not okay, too. No. Anyway, all right.
Yolanda, you're so shy.
I've been trying to convince people of that for decades, that I really am shy. I took speech and drama so that to pull myself out of that shyness.
Oh, okay.
It's not working.
Well, I still wouldn't mess with you.
That's right.
Well, you know.
Okay. Well, anyway.
It's good to be passionate about items.
It's the problem is every no neighborhood wants it.
No, yeah. And I'm not even, I think they realize too, even some of these locations that they want to designate isn't even an answer either. I mean, I think everyone's trying to, you know, find out what is that solution. I don't know, stuff.
Yeah.
That's where we said, you know what?
It's a toughie.
That's not what we do. This is what we're good at. This is what our core services. We're good at picking up items and cleaning up the areas. Let us stick to that and you guys work on the others.
Yes, I think that's a really smart approach because you just get sucked in and time will forever be gone. Anything else on the homeless protocol?
No.
Okay. Electric vehicle batteries.
Yeah, I actually sat in a meeting when I was at Waste Expo and sat on a committee. There was about 30 of us from different organizations. The company called Battle did a presentation on the batteries. And there are just so many unknowns. I mean, we were all hitting them with questions. What's going to happen with the batteries? What's the life of the batteries? What are we going to do with them afterwards? And I heard a lot of, we're not sure. We don't know. There's the unknowns. And I tell them, well, we appreciate you guys being honest and not trying to, you know, feed us a line on this, but, you know, we have to, looking forward, if we are going to use these, we have to end up or know what we're going to do with these on a solution. So I did ask, you know, and it's really changed because at one point they used to tell me they were going to last for 30 years. The last go around, they told me they're going to last for 10 years. So it's like, okay, well, kind of figuring out. I do have so that's the battery. So that's the life of that. I saw a lot of trucks that were electric trucks that are showing what they're going to do. They're not proven yet, but I did get a hold of a gentleman named John King of Ocala, Florida, that has been using an electric truck for the last 6 months. And I have a scheduled, actually, we just emailed back and forth just a couple hours ago, trying to get a scheduled meeting with him on Tuesday at 10 o'clock. And I already know that Scottsdale wants to sit in on it. Tempe wants to sit on it. City of Phoenix wants to sit in on it. And I believe Glendale all want to sit on there so we can pick his brain since he's been using it for 6 months. And not so much about the batteries. I don't think we're going to find out too much about that. I think it's going to just over time we'll find out. But we want to find out operationally, how is that truck working out? Is it able to pick up work for 10 hours? Is it able to pick 1,100 households? And what is that putting on the wear and tear on the battery and how long is it lasting? So we want to find out from him how it's working operationally, because I guaranteed we're going to end up getting one of these things in the next year or two, you know, at least to try it out. But it would be nice to know how they're working operationally in Florida.
Okay. Still 750 grand.
Yes. $750,000 for a truck right now.
Yeah.
When I also did find out that it actually to charge the truck is over 400 kilowatts. That's a lot. What I want to do is narrow that down to, okay, what is, break it down for me so I understand a little bit more. Is that equivalent to 1,000 households? You know, what does it break down to? So I need someone is better at it than I am to give me a breakdown as to, okay, 400 kilowatts. Okay. What is that equivalent to as far as a charging and how much is that charging going to be? And that's one truck. When you think about it, our fleet is 99 trucks. So obviously it's not going to happen overnight, you know, through, it took us 8 years to transition over to CNG. So how long is it going to take to transition over to E vehicles, which I get it. It may be, it might take us 15 years to get there, but we still got to know what that impact is going to be on the grid as far as electricity, what that's going to be. California has jumped into this thing with both feet into the pool. You know, they already have house bills regulating that they have to do it by a certain time. So it's like California always seems to set the pace on that. So we'll find out, you know, if they're going to be able to handle that. Let's see if they're not going to have blackouts. You know that they're. I know the people I did talk to that said, "Man, we're nervous about blackouts. If we put this much impact on the grid fast, what is that going to do?"
So, Pat, I have a couple questions on that. Sure. One of them would be because we are very warm. I know Florida has some warmth, but they have more humidity. I'm wondering what the impact of our hot summers would be. So that would be a question that you need to ask them if that's going to affect the quality, longevity, everything down the road. And then the other question I had was, what is the EPA's take on this, on electric batteries? Do they have a set, or have they made any comments or recommendations?
No. And the EPA, I think, is on board with electric. I don't think they're going to jump into that, whether yay or not. I think what they're just going to do is make sure they have regulations on how they're being disposed of at the end of it. I think that's where EPA is going to come into play. Not so much the usage, but how are you going to dispose of this?
Well, and that was one of the questions that I asked about battery life and disposal. Yep. Because we've already have been negatively impacted at the landfill before they started lining everything. And not every landfill in the United States is lined. I think we're kind of trendsetters when it comes to that.
Well, it's required since the early 70s, the Solid Waste Management Act requires all landfills to be lined.
Subtitle D, everyone has to have that.
Yeah.
So when I was in Colorado, they said that they don't have those regulations around the Denver area. So I was either
really?
That or,
that's surprising. It's a federal law. But the point is, we do have to have concern because we know they're not made with lead anymore, but there are tremendous areas in Virginia where all old batteries were taken, car batteries and so forth, and broken apart to take the lead out. And the amount of contamination of the ground and the groundwater has been horrendous on their Superfund sites. So batteries are difficult.
Yeah, and you know, they have, I mean, I think a lot of spot on is because we did ask about the heat, especially us in Arizona. All of us were like, oh, how's this gonna handle? And they're like, we don't know. I said, well, send us a truck. We'll be more than happy to test it, you know?
We'd be glad to give it some testing. Let us be your beta test site. Yeah,
I'll be more than happy to test that thing. We'll run it, you know, to the ground as hard as we can to see if this thing's going to work. But so those are all good questions. The unknowns as far as the batteries. And when we asked them that, I mean, Margo, what you were mentioning is that they don't know. They're like, we don't know. We haven't, you know, had these batteries in garbage trucks for 10 years yet. We're not there yet.
But it's not just garbage trucks, you know, even the fancy Teslas and the Prius Primes and all those that are adding all those additional batteries. You can say, yeah, they're going to last 10 years, but they're in a crash. Now what do? You got a whole bunch of batteries just either hanging out or batteries that have been disrupted, that have been smashed and so forth. So, you know, it's not waiting 10 years till the batteries wear out. There'll be some before that.
What worries me is that we have such an issue with lithium batteries at the landfill.
Yeah.
It's causing fires.
Like the fires, yeah.
Right. So what is this going to do? I don't know. Unknowns, I guess we're going to have to figure that out. That's all I have.
Well, that'll be... I suppose you'll have to have just one place for lithium batteries where you can make it asbestos lined or something.
So did you know that Margo sent off that letter about getting ES inspectors?
Oh, yeah, we did.
Oh, you did?
I don't think we got any replies, but...
Okay.
Steve put it in his newsletter.
Yeah.
An excerpt of it in his newsletter, and one of the TV stations picked it up and did a story. It was based on the report that the the pilot study that was done a year ago, which we got the final report last fall, showed that if you did the one-on-one work with people, that feedback on their recycling, the way they are recycling, that you kicked the, you drop the contamination down. And so what we proposed was that they needed to have, you needed to be added inspectors at the level to go through the routes at the recycling bins, especially in areas of high transition where people were constantly coming in, because every place is different with their rules. And so there's, you shouldn't expect people to know what to do when they move into an area. And so we asked, we wanted to put a number in, but Carlos said, just tell us to get some. And we pointed out that if we could bring the contamination down, you could essentially pay for those people through the drop in the excess contamination fee.
And that they could help too with brush and bulky.
Yep.
And, you know, people putting stuff out early or too late and stuff. I can send you a copy of that letter if you'd like.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, anyway. Carlos wasn't real excited about it, but
no, he wasn't real happy. But we did it anyway.
Yeah, if you want to send it to me, that'd be great. I don't think I've seen it.
Mm-hmm. All right. I think it's a good idea to send it to all of us.
Oh, okay.
I'd like to read
it. Well, it was done at the ESAC. It was voted on by ESAC, so
I voted against it, but I'd like to still see it.
Sure.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Chris, you can do that.
Yeah, I'll send it. Do you guys all want it that's in this subcommittee? Or should I send it to all the ESAC members?
Well, they saw it at the meeting. I mean, I think there's, you have to give it to Brittany to send out if you're going to do that, because you get into open meeting law problems.
I'll just send it to you guys.
Yeah, just send it
to
you
folks. Okay.
Well, at the ESAC, I thought you were going to make a few edits. So, you know. I would say send it to everybody and let them see what the edits were.
Okay.
Okay.
I guess send it to Brittany and she can do the...
She can send it out for next week's.
Yeah.
But that's just the shy me speaking, so.
Anything else for Pat on collections? Vehicle, batteries, disposal? Have we covered all that?
We're good.
Okay. Thanks, Pat.
All right, thank you.
All right, Christina.
Outreach. So tomorrow, Carlos and I are going to be at the Ward 2 neighborhood group. It's kind of Paul Cunningham does it, where he has all the different department heads come and kind of update the neighborhood. So we're going to do that.
What are you going to say?
I don't know. Carlos is the one that's going to speak. Oh. I'm just going to be there to, you know, answer questions if people have them. We have a couple of things. So one thing that happened is the city, our department, submitted and was awarded a $1 million grant from EPA for brownfields.
Wow.
To set up a revolving loan fund to assist with cleanup, which is great. The EPA reached out to us, and you will be hearing more, but the Region 9 administrator would like to come and do a press event here in Tucson at one of our former brownfield sites to kind of announce it. And they also made an award to Cochise County, so they would like Cochise County people to be included. So I'm working on planning that. You should expect to get an invite.
Wonderful.
But we've already set the date and time. It's June 15th. They didn't give us a lot of time for planning. June 15th at 8:30.
Where?
I have to confirm it, but it's more than likely going to be at the Cadence Student Housing Complex. Remember,
okay. The Eastern
old Greyhound bus
terminal? Oh, yes. And the stuff with the railroad. That's where all that railroad stuff is too.
Yep.
And water contamination across the street under that garage.
Yeah. So that's where it's going to be. So that's coming up. And then I told you about our zero waste collection event we did in April. Mm-hmm. And I've been hearing from different people, when are you going to do another one? I missed it. And so my little planning committee has said we should do one in the fall. We will be doing it at on November 5th at the Catalina United Methodist Church parking lot there at Speedway, between right by Himmel Park. Mm-hmm. I've already talked with them and reserved space, and already heard from a couple of the participants in the last one. They're, you know, want to do it again. So
great.
Hopefully we'll add some more options.
I've been talking about it and people are all interested that I've talked about. I was just talking the other day about the pills and the medicine bottles.
Yes.
How well that worked out. So that's terrific. Good for you, Christina.
So just put that on your calendars. That'll be coming up. And aside from that, not a lot being planned right now just because it's summertime.
Isn't something coming up on Friday?
Oh, that's kind of one of my other hats. I'm on the board of the Arizona Recycling Coalition. And on Friday, we have a meeting and presentation here in Tucson. It's going to be at Brother John's. It is something that people have to pay for the lunch. But I know Margo's attending and Carlos is going to be talking about the Los Reales Sustainability Campus. So.
And that's tomorrow.
That's Friday.
On Friday.
Yes. Yeah.
We just want it to be Thursday, huh, Mark?
I know. Yeah. No, you know what? I'm still isolating because my son got COVID.
Yeah. Well,
so anyhow, but you're going, Margo?
I'm going, yeah.
Okay.
Hopefully it will be a non-spreader event. I'm scared now after Pat got it and his wife, but of course they went to Las Vegas. So, you know.
Yeah, he's even on a plane.
Yeah, well.
So that's coming up.
Okay, well, that's great.
One thing that I'm going to mention to you, and I don't know if you all know people affiliated with the Sustainable Tucson group.
Yeah.
When the Sustainability Campus plan was announced, they reached out and were, you know, we want to be involved, we want to help develop the plan, and you know, I let them know, I mean, right then, we're just at the beginning stages, nothing's been decided. We certainly are going to include as many community groups as we can once we get to that stage. I guess early on there was some discussion of, you know, possibly a waste to energy plant, but they really kind of glommed onto that, like that's the plan, and nothing is planned other than we want to be hearing from different providers and what they can do, how it's going to fit for Tucson. Carlos has been adamant that it needs to be a Tucson-centric plan, that, you know, that all these options and alternative energy and all these different things, you know, may work in one community, but they may not work in ours. And, you know, we're definitely committed to getting a lot of public input.
Well, you have to know that Margo and I have butt heads with them on a regular basis. So, and that's at the CCES meetings, the Commission on Climate, Energy, Sustainability.
Well,
and they're like Margo said, dogmatic. And one of the leaders is a guy who just moved here to Tucson. So
Kevin.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so he's on our list of favorite people. So
they've just posted a fact sheet on their website about the sustainability campus that has a lot of misinformation. Yes. So, you know, I know you all are involved in the community, and if people ever say anything, you know, we are just in the beginning stages of developing this plan. And like I said, we're absolutely committed to getting input from the whole community.
Okay. I think the issue has to be that you need to start setting some times or some sort of a little more concrete timeline than you've had about when that's going to happen, because when there's a void, others will rush in to fill that void.
Right.
And I've butted heads with them, especially over to waste to energy. I told them not to worry about it. There wasn't any chance that would pass. We'd already killed that once for Davis Montham, and we got solar panels instead. And, you know, there just isn't the water to do it, you know, so you're not going to be making gasoline. So, you know, and they just didn't want to listen. And this, especially right. Kevin, who's formerly with EPA in Philadelphia, I mean, he has a particular perspective and he probably is fairly knowledgeable, but he certainly doesn't have much understanding of this area. So.
Right. And the other thing they said is that they've been meeting with mayor and council.
Well, yeah, they probably have. They probably have gone around from person to person talking to them. And so what's going to be important is to keep the council. I think if I were you, I would take that fact sheet and rebut it and send it to the council members so that they have the information. You have to remember that most of the council members have very little knowledge about this, mm-hmm. Any of these things. And so they need to be given facts too, so that they can rebut the things that are incorrect.
Right. Well, I think Carlos is really, you know, carrying the ball in terms of communicating with the mayor and council about this.
Yeah, but I would still urge you to write something down.
Yeah, because, you know, Steve's even saying things about that group in his newsletter. So yeah. They've gotten a lot of attention, and you're right, there's a lot of misinformation. And so I agree, a fact sheet would be great. You could even if you posted it on the site, you know, that people can go to. So
but you especially have to help the mayor and council, because they really do not know.
They don't know.
That's actually a really good idea. We should put something on our website that kind of lays out where we are in the process.
And put some dates in. I mean, you can always change them, but at least give the sense that there's some movement. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't feel any movement on that project. And partly because, as I keep preaching to anyone who will listen to me, each one of your major projects needs one full-time person dealing with it. So the Los Reales Sustainability Council needs one person whose job is to get up every morning and think about what they're going to do to make that move forward. And the gas plant needs the same thing. And the, you know,
pump and treat,
you know, all of those projects which have been put in your lap needs a full-time high-level person. I mean, a person with a college degree and hopefully a master's degree in some sort of environmental engineering, environmental policy, environmental something or other, who really knows and can talk to the experts in that. And I mean, it's hopeless for Carlos and Pat and you, Christina, to try to field all those things. I mean, you just can't do it. There's not enough hours in the day, and you do need to sleep some.
We're vampires.
Oh, I know.
Sleep is overrated.
And you need one person just to be on the MRF and the waste diversion and all that. I mean, it just, I don't know what the manager, I know what the city manager is doing. He's doing a good job at keeping his budget low at the price of all of your health and the
and you know, I haven't been going to the CCES meetings because it's just all talk.
It's just wasted time.
They just and it's just to me, I it's just too frustrating. So
anyway, let's move on. Okay. Anything else more? Anyway, Christina, I really urge you, if you don't have the time to do it, I can maybe possibly Christina and I can do something together and write you out a sheet for it. Just let us know.
Okay. Because
you've got two people who've got the degrees and we can answer, we can deal with that stuff.
Okay, great. Thank you.
But you need to, don't let it slide on your list of 35 things to do.
I'll put it on the list.
Yeah, because they're starting to be like,
they're starting to cause
like they're consultants. They're not
starting to cause mischief because you're going to make life more difficult. So okay. And that this is a public record, so they can hear that. Code enforcement. If you're not nothing more, Yolanda, any other questions? Comments?
I don't know. You know me, I have lots of stuff to say.
Okay.
My neighbors were coming to me about the food truck that has now stained and stunk up our street. We're afraid that it's going to bring roaches. These people are so not caring that they don't care that their dog is running around. Last night he chased two girls on a bicycle, barking and nipping at them. So what do I do? The peddlers that I talked about at 12th and Drexel, they're not removing their items. So of course, one of their tents, canopies, got blown, and it could have gone up into, they built it underneath the TEP power lines, which nothing is supposed to be underneath TEP power lines. So that went, and that could have like knocked out all of our power.
Yep.
So those are the issues I have with not having enough code enforcement people to address what is priority for us. Not priority so much as it's a big issue. It's a big concern. What do I tell my neighbors? You know, when they come knocking on my door and saying, what are you doing about this? The same thing I mentioned before about the neighbors and their trash and their recycling, which is not items that are recyclable. They're using their recyclable as their second trash bin. Yeah. And it's so obvious. Yeah. That's why I said, I just wish you guys would just not pick up.
We need to take this comment and send it as a call to the audience. This is exactly what the city council needs to hear. Really, I'm serious.
Well, we had, okay. So the other question I had, Pat, was there's somebody's remodeling the house. And so they stuck all these wood pieces sticking out like 4 feet. And so they have not picked up that bin for 2 weeks, which I'm happy about, but I don't know if anybody's addressed that with the homeowners. It's an eyesore.
So in other words, they've stuck wood into their bin, and it extends so far out that they can't really pick it up.
Right. It's like 2x4s, 6x6s, 2x2s, you know, so.
Is it out at the curb?
Yes, it is for 2 weeks now. I took a picture of it, I think, yesterday.
Okay. Yeah, I just need the address, and then we can go out there and actually get some photos and actually follow up with the resident.
And then, you know, on the homeless issue again, we have the individuals who are constantly at Valencia and 12th asking for money. And they have their big old shopping carts on the curb, you know, on the median. So I know COVID has caused a lot of issues, but I don't want my neighborhood to think that the association is not trying to stay on top of this. I don't want people to think that we are so trashy, we don't care.
Yep. You know, Yolanda, contact TPD. with the people trying to get money at the intersections and stuff like that.
Well, I've been trying. Well, we have a new captain down here, and I've been speaking to him. We are trying to set up a meeting between him and one of the assistant chiefs so that they're aware of this. But because of everybody's time constraints and my working pretty much full time now, it's just scheduling has become a problem. So I might have to look at backing off on some of these committees that I sit on. Not this one, though, because I'm too shy to leave it.
Oh, good. We don't want you to leave, Yolanda. You bring us important information of what's really happening out there. I've started looking now that you mentioned it about all these food trucks, and I'm seeing places on Broadway near Rosemont where they've put in the big concrete bases with poles sticking up so they can put in there, and they're left there all the time.
Right. They're not supposed to be permanent, but these people are putting in permanent foundations.
So
thank you.
Yeah. Okay, that's really for Lori, who is the next person up.
Yay, Lori.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. bear with me, I have a little bit of laryngitis right now.
I hope it's not COVID.
Well, let's just say a vacation turned into a sick leave. But so code enforcement updates on code enforcement cases. Right now, we're at about 3,200 cases, and this almost exactly the same amount we had last year at this time. We're starting to increase our ability to get these cases visited in a timely manner. Our two new inspectors who started last month just started out in the field on Thursday, and they're going to be doing primarily property maintenance cases like weeds, refuse, etc. So once they're fully up and running, we're going to just knock a lot of these out. You know, part of our delay, you know, was with homeless protocol and a lot of emergencies lately, and they can be very time consuming. The IPAC, or Independent Audit and Performance Commission update, the subcommittee, what I know about that, I believe they are meeting at least one more time, likely this month. I don't have a date on that, but that's my understanding. And a final report still needs to be submitted. Peddler's license, and I think I've reported on this before. There's a misconception with peddlers in that a lot of them believe they just need a business license, a City of Tucson tax license, but it, you know, it's actually a separate peddler's license that they need. And that's what we enforce. And so when we go out, we're checking for that license. But in order to get that license, they need a Pima County health certificate and I think the business license. So I think it can get a little confusing. And to date, I just checked right now, we've had only four peddlers complaints this year to date, which to me is a little low, but that's... that's all that comes up for 2022.
Lori, I'm afraid people are getting used to seeing them everywhere, like it's okay.
I mean, that could be one reason for certain.
So, Lori, can you clarify what those complaints are specifically? Like, are they food? Are they trash? Are they, what are people complaining about with those four?
Well, I think a lot of them are living equipment, permit structures. And I know that's what I see when I drive around is more permit structures. Got with no permit. Yeah, another one with equipment that's being left out. And I would say that's probably the biggest driver complaint, not necessarily that they're lacking the permit. And the third one is permits and leaving equipment.
So all the complaining that I'm doing doesn't count? I mean, or do I have to drive around my neighborhood and give you specific addresses and take pictures. I mean, tell me how to do this so that we can get the situation under control.
Yeah, you can email me directly with any location. You could tell me right now and I'll write it down. But, you know, right now we're operating on a complaint driven basis. So I will get those cases generated immediately. I think you just mentioned maybe one.
12th and Drexel.
12th and Drexel. So
there are actually five on that corner.
On that corner?
I just mentioned one of the five. Yeah. It's like a full Food City, you know, thing. I don't know.
Are they coming at night?
They're set up permanent. So they're leaving all their stuff.
Okay. Is it 5th and Drexel or 6th
and Drexel? No, it's 12th and Drexel.
Oh, my apologies.
One
yeah,
and two.
It's, 12. Yeah, we have one on the southwest corner, and then the other four are on the northeast corner.
Okay.
You can't miss them because they're there all the time.
Okay.
So the point is that we would just email you with, for instance, the Rosemont and Broadway one, just send you that there's equipment being left behind.
I can just write it down right now.
Okay.
Well, can't vacant property owners allow them to be on their property? Because we got the hot dog guy at Al Vernon and Lee. And he's got an okay from the property owners.
That would be one part of obtaining a peddler's license.
Okay.
That the vacant property owner has to give their written permission.
Okay.
It might even have to be notarized, but it definitely has to be signed. And that gets turned into planning and development services. And they also have to draw out where they expect to put their
truck.
Yeah, and it'll have to be a certain amount of feet from the roadway, as well as if it's abutting residential areas. I think that might be 200 feet from residential areas as well. It has to meet a certain number of conditions, and then it would be approved.
But even with the owner's permission, they can't leave stuff up and do permanent improvements, is my understanding.
And you're correct.
Yeah, I worked on that issue years ago when all this started coming out, and it's gotten progressively worse and no monitoring. So that's why I say if you go up and down 12th Avenue, you're going to see them everywhere.
Yeah. But code enforcement doesn't handle anything in the streets. So I've been trying to get ParkWise to help with a food truck that's parked in my neighborhood on the street all the time, and nobody does anything. So
I thought there were zoning restrictions on what can be parked on the streets. From what I've seen in some of them, you can't park a semi, for instance, in front of your house, more than overnight. And there are other things like that. And I think a food truck, there are probably regulations planning and development services has about that.
Yeah, but planning and development's hasn't really been doing anything for
a while. Well, I know that. I would agree with you. They aren't very responsive, but I think that's where it is. I mean, I think Yolanda's story about the food truck parked in front of her building or, on her street with food waste dripping down onto the street is a health concern.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it also, environmental services vehicles can't really get around it if somebody's parked on the other side. I'm just afraid that it's gonna cause an accident. Some little kid might get hurt because a driver didn't see it because this food truck is blocking the view.
So it's a safety hazard as well as a health hazard as well as I think it's a zoning violation.
Well, and he's got his electrical plugged from the house into the unit along with his hose. So somebody walking the sidewalk could trip on it and, you know, be badly hurt.
Okay, well, that's a good question. Who deals with all those things? Lori, what's it say about draping hoses and electrical cords over the sidewalk?
Well, that would not be allowed at all.
Can't do that.
You know, part of this is with Pima County. There's a distinction between what is a peddler, and a peddler being someone who's there every day. They come back every night at their set hours in the same place. That's why they have their permits. And then you kind of have the food trucks that are more, they're just considered mobile food trucks, you know, and they go to the roundups or they pull up in front of a business on the street, like you're saying. And I think there's a distinction with Pima County on that. And I have to be honest, I don't know all the differences, but there is a difference. And it's regulated differently. So it might be something, you know, that discussion we'd have to bring in Pima County on that. And I can research that as well.
Well, this guy typically sets up on Park and Bilby, just north of the Circle K there. And he's done some permanent improvements to that lot that he sits on. So when he's not there, then he's in front of our houses, in front of his house, just a few houses from my house. So, but it is but all that debris, when he drains his vehicle, comes down in front of my house. So I am getting bugs and bees and mosquitoes, ants. Oh my gosh, the ants are just going crazy.
And I think, you know, I'm just looking at the internet.
We're losing you.
Right now, I think that'd be state law. So I'll research that.
Okay, so why don't we put that on for next time to research what is Pima County, what is the health issues, zoning, for these food trucks, and the peddler's license. Maybe you can,
and Parkwise too, right?
Yeah, sure. Parkwise.
But yeah, I don't fully understand how Parkwise fits in, but that's probably just my ignorance. So Lori, maybe you can give us a little talk next month on sort of all these aspects of the food trucks, you know, answering the questions now that we've been asking for a couple of months. Can you do that?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. And like, who is responsible and where would you send a complaint? I mean, I think that would be really helpful to us. Is it Pima County Health Department? Do we need to send a complaint to them that there's, I don't know, liquid waste running in front of my house? I mean, you know, if you have a green swimming pool in your neighborhood, you know, you can call a certain number and they'll come out and inspect it and require something to be done about it because of the mosquitoes. So here we have ants and bees and other vermin.
Would that hook up with trying to run a business in a residential neighborhood?
Potentially, that's another one. So I think there's some zoning issues. I do, yeah.
And they're all great questions. But I would think Pima County Health Department would have a large part in if any food vendor, you know, is not meeting health code, you know, spilling garbage or waste anywhere, you know, whether that's on a private property, street, sidewalk. I'll have more information for you next month.
Okay, cool. Well, I think we look forward to some real specifics.
And when you're doing that, can you also put down phone numbers that we can resource then? And, you know, just add that as part of your little list?
Yes.
Thank you.
So we're not just bugging you all the time.
Right.
Yeah, right. Give us some other people to bug. So we can, well, you know, it really is helpful to put it, the complaints to the right place. I mean, it's those of us who've complained, we get tired of being shuttled from one place to another. So we like the right information up front so we can do it most efficiently for ourselves and for the others too, for the people we're dealing with.
And Lori, do you know who I could contact in PTSD about 1144 North Alvernon, that smoke shop? Because it's been a long time that Steve Shell wanted them to resubmit their development plan, and they have yet to do that. So they continue to be able to run the smoke shop without, you know, having striped parking, handicap parking, and paying the money for their sign and doing all this stuff. I know you're in the court for the sign, aren't you?
But Ms. Sam might be. I'll have to double check on that.
So, I mean, who could help me? I hate, you know, every time I bug Corin, she tells me she's too busy, and I know she is. And Daniel.
It would be Elisa Hamblin.
Okay. All right. She's at the bottom of the. Okay, the paperwork that shows up. So, okay.
She's a zoning administrator now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, and by the way, that smoke shop has been held up twice.
Oh, exciting.
Yeah, I've got video.
Oh, my goodness. What a committee. People who have videos of holdups in their neighborhoods. All right. Anything else we would like from Lori? I'm happy that you have two new people working for you and they're about to go independent, it sounds like. And so I'm sure everybody is heaving a great sigh of relief that that's happening. So
I have one more question. Sure. Possible to do a ride along with one of these inspectors?
Absolutely.
You're talking about the new ones or a veteran inspector?
Anyone. I mean, yeah. We would probably scare the heck out of a new one with, you know, all of our questions. You're shaking your head. Yes.
I am. I'm not going to cut you loose on a newbie.
Not shy, Yolanda.
Even though you're shy.
Yes.
No, we'll make sure you're with a veteran that can understands.
Thank you.
Have you done a recent ride along with code enforcement and TPD lately?
Who, Lori? Who are you asking?
Yolanda.
Oh. Have you done any with?
I haven't. Again, only because things haven't really truly opened up, but that is one of the things I intend to ask the captain.
Okay. Great. Because those are good.
You know, it might be why they're not getting back to me. They're like, oh my gosh, she's just going to overwhelm us with all this stuff.
Ah, well.
Part of the job.
That's right. Okay. Well, thank you so much. And any future items? We have the report from Lori now. And let's see. Of course, the ongoing ones, the facility report, the contract update. Los Reales, I guess, continuing what's happening with Cell 4B and the routing. You will have started the new routing. Homeless camp protocols.
Oh, and then you're going to go to that update dinner Friday, right?
Yeah. We'll hear what, I don't know if Carlos is going to tell us much new or just mostly explain what's being promised now.
Yeah, I just explained what's going on.
I think it's. Yeah, it's more the regular stuff. Okay, anything else?
Oh, I guess we asked this to Carlos about the affordability of this plastic blocks thing. Is that something that you guys would address, or is that something I should mention to Carlos?
Is that the Steve's blocks that he continues we're making slow progress on?
The bifusion blocks, that'd probably be Carlos, because we're doing facilities on doing those enclosures. He could probably give you more insight on that.
Okay, because I sent Steve information on the water use that Yolanda had asked for. Mm-hmm. So he seemed to think that the water was just being recirculated.
But thinking and actually having it happen are two different things. So that clarification needs to happen.
And not only that, water with heat. So.
Yeah, no, we couldn't respond to that. That'd have to go to Bifusion. They're the ones who are going to have to respond on that, right? The manufacturer of the blankie block or the blocks.
Yeah.
But my concern was the double the cost of a concrete block and the emissions going to and from the recycle then to pick up the product. So it was that whole bigger picture.
Carbon footprint, hauling them. Yeah. So, okay. We'll bug Carlos next week.
Yep.
So I'm glad that I was able to make the meeting. The hours for the museum we've gone into summer hours, and they allowed me to leave a little bit earlier today so that I could attend this and not have to sit outside in a Zoom meeting in the heat.
Good. All right. Do you want us to do it a half hour later? Is that what you're asking, Yolanda?
No, I don't want to inconvenience everybody for one person.
Well, we're done at 4:30. What's your usual quitting time?
4:30.
Oh, okay.
10 p.m.
Yeah, I never quit. You're right. I don't. It's like I drive myself crazy with my schedule.
Yeah, it never ends. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Yolanda, for making that accommodation. We appreciate that.
We're just hoping you guys want to meet in person someday so we can have some Rocco's pizza we haven't had it since a long time.
It's been a long time.
Look at all the money we've saved you not having to get us lunch or dinner or whatever.
And you're not having to drive all over the place.
Yeah.
So that's a lower carbon footprint.
That is
true. That's right.
Okay, guys. See you next month. In July, it would be the 6th of July. Well, I'll still be here. So that's
6th of July.
Yeah.
But we're still meeting for the full ESAC, right? Next
week? Yeah. We'll be, the 9th is when we're meeting of June. The 9th of June, we're meeting all together.
And July 6th is going to be Mayor and Council Day also.
Yeah.
Because that's going to be delayed because of the 4th of July.
4th of July. Okay. Do we have anything specially being put on the 6th of July? Or?
I don't think so. Not on this one.
Okay. If we need to change it, maybe we could just, Thursday I'll be,
we should be okay.
In transit. I think we'll be okay. I hope so.
We'll be fine.
Very good.
All right.
Have a good rest of your evening.
Right. You too. See you all. Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you, everybody.
Stay well.
Yeah, stay well. Stay healthy.
See you later.